Welcome to episode 43 of the Walk and Talk podcast. I'm Greg Johnson, and today is Thursday, September 17th, 2020. In this episode, I'm going to be offering some suggestions and considerations and advice for buying a laptop computer. It's a common question that comes up. People want some help with buying a laptop computer, and the answers are usually the same. So unless somebody is doing, you know, gene sequencing or something like that, most tasks like browsing the web or even, you know, editing videos can all be done on a basic laptop computer. So as I do in most of my podcast episodes, I'm going to try to offer a brief overview that will take maybe a minute or two to present. And then for those interested in the deeper details, you can continue listening. But for those who are short on time and just want quick answers, I'll provide that right now. So there are a few bullet points to consider when buying a new laptop computer. It's very tempting when you see these Google Chromebooks that are $200 or $300, or you may see a Windows computer that's in that price range. It's tempting to get one of those, but those are generally too slow, and they're just not what you'd want long term. The other consideration is brand. I think it's helpful to get a brand like Dell or HP or Sony. I know that every brand has its fanboys and haters, so but basically whatever brand you seem to have luck with, the main thing is that you want a reputable website you can go to get support. And then as far as memory, certainly more is better. You'll find that 4 gigabytes of memory, which is common in some of these cheaper, lower priced laptops, isn't quite enough. So you want to make sure you get at least 8, and if you can, 16 gigabytes of memory. As far as the hard drive type, you would really want to get a solid state hard drive at this point. Otherwise, mechanical hard drives tend to be slow and they can crash. So when you're shopping online or you're asking questions in the store, that's one thing to make sure of, is that what you're buying has a solid state hard drive. And of course, weight is a consideration. Is this a computer that you're going to be carrying around with you every day or taking on vacation? And usually weight and size are, you know, considered at the same time. So a larger laptop computer generally weighs more, although that's not always the case. There are some large display computers that have 15, 16, 17 inch displays that are very slim and light, but those are super expensive. And, you know, something to think about is how important is the weight. If you really need one that's small and light and portable and it's not really your daily use computer, then you'll go in one direction. And using Dell as an example, they have some, I believe, 12-inch display laptops, so they'd be adequate for some emails and writing for a short period of time. But anyway, those are the considerations, and I'm going to go into more detail now in the podcast episode to talk about those decisions and choices. Let's go a little deeper into the topic of cost, what you're going to spend. You want to buy a computer that meets your needs today, but also that can adequately meet your needs 4 or 5 years from now. Your needs may not change. You may still be doing emails or browsing the web, but as Windows gets bigger and there are more and more updates, the computer would need to have a little more processing power down the road. So you can see that evidenced in the fact that older computers with less memory and slower processors just don't seem to keep up and don't seem to be fast enough for today's tasks, even though the tasks haven't changed much. So with that in mind, I would say that computers in the $300 to $500 price range, those typically are going to have a Core i5 processor. They're generally going to have 4 gigabytes of RAM. They're going to have a smaller hard drive. If it's solid state, it might be 128 gigabytes. If it's an old mechanical hard drive that spins at 5,400 RPMs, it may be 500 gigabytes or a terabyte, 1,000 gigabytes. But that's what I want to mention, is that in that price range from, say, $300 to $500 or $600, unless something's on some super sale, usually you're going to get a computer that's just slightly less than adequate. It would work. It works in the store. It powers on. It looks like it's a functioning computer, but it's sort of like one of these printers that comes with starter ink, and after the first, you know, 30 pages, you have to go out and buy more ink, and then you realize there are other issues with it. So anyway, I would say generally stay away from the computers in that $300 to $600 price range. They're fine. I mean, if you ended up getting one of those, it should work okay. It's just going to be a little bit slow. It's going to slow down more in the future. Now, of course, I'm talking about buying new computers, and I'm talking about new computers that are Windows computers, not Apple. Apple, of course, is going to be like $1,000 or more. But that's basically what I'm looking at here. And there are, of course, used computers, and those would be much less expensive. So that's probably a topic I could dig into a little more in a different episode. But you want to have some pretty good knowledge about computers if you're going out to buy a used one, just to make sure that when you spend this money, which could be several hundred dollars, you're getting something that's really going to work for you. Okay, let's move on from cost to brand. And I just briefly mentioned, you know, Dell or HP earlier, but as an example, with a Dell computer, you can usually pretty easily find the serial number on the computer. And then you can go to Dell's website and type in that serial number and get all of the software and the manuals and find out the purchase history, the warranty. It's just very convenient. And so with HP, with Lenovo, Toshiba, all these other brands, there should be some pretty good support available online. If you get a brand that's not as reputable and doesn't really have a substantive website supporting it, well, then what'll happen is at some point when you need support, it just won't be as easy to get things fixed or to have questions answered. And if it's not a product brand that is dominant in the marketplace, well, then there aren't millions of people using it, so there are fewer people out there to help answer questions in these community forums or what have you. So brand is important. I think reliability is going to be relatively the same across the brands. I'm sure some Consumer Reports studies will provide more granular detail as far as reliability, but basically the hardware manufacturers are all going to the same suppliers for the hard drive components and things like that. So a lot of the components are going to be the same regardless of what brand you get. And then, of course, assembly and additional features are going to be different from brand to brand. You may have noticed on smartphones that if you buy a Samsung phone, it's going to come with some special Samsung software on top of the normal kind of Android phone experience. Or if you buy a Motorola phone or an LG phone, each phone manufacturer puts a layer of their own software and utilities on top of the standard Android operating system. And that's either a good thing or maybe a negative thing. So it's good if you like the programs that they have included, but it can be not so good if there's a lot of extra clutter from a manufacturer and things that you're just not interested in. So some people will search around and shop around for a smartphone that has as few added applications as possible. And Google sells their Pixel phone or whatever. Throughout the years, they've had different names for it, but basically it's a very clean, limited Android. Well, the same is true for computers. You're going to have some computer manufacturers who really load up their computers with a lot of extra software. Usually there is some sort of support assistant software, and that can be helpful. It's an application you can run on the computer and it'll show up on the screen and display your serial number, your warranty information, maybe some computer health status, that type of thing. So, you know, that software is helpful, but HP in the past has been known for including a lot of extra games or trialware, you know, sample software on the computer. So some of these manufacturers will clutter up the computer with a lot of extra stuff that you'll probably want to go ahead and just remove as soon as you get the computer. Well, that's another reason for finding a brand that you like. And it's another distinction or differentiation between the brands. Dell came out with one of their model lines. You've probably heard of OptiPlex, and then they have the Inspiron line and what have you, different model lines that Dell has. And one of those is Vostro. It's available in both laptop and desktop. And Vostro initially was this product line that Dell developed to be able to offer people a computer that just had Windows on it without any extra clutter. Maybe there would have been like some drivers for a special video card or something, but basically you'd go into the list of installed programs and there'd be like maybe two things there instead of 50. So that was really popular when it first came out, and I think other manufacturers are trying to not clutter that list so much. Something I'll do with a used computer or just in cleaning up somebody's computer after the files have been backed up is to just reinstall Windows and start fresh. And that's a great way on an older computer to get a nice, clean experience with that computer. There may be other drivers and things that are needed. But anyway, I mentioned that all under the heading of brand because different companies have different approaches to how they put the software together on the hard drive. And the next point is memory. So you'll want, I would think, at least 8 gigabytes of memory. Some computers will come with 12 or 16. HP does something that maybe it's smart, but maybe it's not so smart. They have on some of their computers shared memory. So the video card, instead of having its own dedicated memory, will just utilize, say, 4 gigabytes of the 12. So you're actually back to 8 again. When you see an HP laptop that has 12, you might want to read the fine print and see, is that the cumulative memory between the CPU, what the CPU is using, and the video card, or is that dedicated memory just for the CPU? But when you see computers like Dell with 16 gigabytes of memory, usually that is all memory dedicated to the CPU. And really, the memory will just determine how fast the computer operates, particularly if you're switching around between a few different programs or have several running at the same time. And then there is hard drive storage and the hard drive type. So a common question that I get from people, or a clarification that people want, is they want to understand better what's the difference between RAM and hard drive storage. And basically that is just that the RAM is in use while the computer is turned on. There's information in the RAM, and that's what you're working with. But once the computer is turned off, the RAM is emptied. So it's just a very efficient, fast place to put information while the computer's turned on. Well, then with the hard drive, it is always filled with the programs and the operating system and your files. So it's a storage place that gets accessed when you are working on the computer. But when you turn the computer off, it continues to retain that information. Well, if the hard drive is the older mechanical hard drive that spins, it can be slower, it can be susceptible to crashes and mechanical failures that cause people to lose files and lose their data. So you want to avoid a mechanical spinning hard drive for that reason. And the solid state drives are faster. They have no moving parts to speak of. So the solid state hard drives are just better in that regard. They can't be used forever, you know, for like 20 or 30 or 50 years. At some point, they can kind of burn out if they have too many reads and writes, too much information written to them and erased and, you know, read from those drives. But in any event, for most people, the solid state drive is going to be a much better choice. And then the question is about hard drive size, the storage capacity of the drive. That really depends on what you're doing on the computer. If you're storing, well, here's an example. I was just recently working on a computer, transferring information from an old one to a new one, and the information, just the photos, were about 50 gigabytes. So that gives you an idea of how much space you might need. This person had many photos going back many years, but basically, if you're going to have a big photo collection on there, well then, a 128 gigabyte hard drive might not be enough to store all those photos and the programs and Windows and documents and other things. But if you know that you're only going to be using the computer for email and browsing the web, well then you could probably get by with a 128 gigabyte hard drive. And I guess another consideration would be long-term usefulness of the computer. Let's say right now you're not working on video production, but maybe down the road you will be, or the person that you might eventually sell the computer to when it's a few years old, they might want more storage space. So you probably wouldn't want to get a computer with a hard drive that's so limiting that it limits you in the future or limits the possible number of people who might want to be, you know, buying it. Now, I talked a little bit about size and weight. Among computer gamers, it's been popular to have these very large and very heavy computers. And the implication when you see that, when you feel that computer, is, wow, that must be powerful. But other than computer gamers, most people would like to have a computer that is certainly a bit slimmer in its design and not so heavy, so maybe half an inch or less. Some of these new Apple computers are designed this way, the laptop computers that are very slim and don't take up a lot of space in a bag, but they're still kind of heavy. So their physical size, small, but their weight, still heavy because they're made out of metal. But if it's something that you're going to be carrying around a lot, then you may want to look at a smaller, lighter computer. But if it's really something that you might be using on your desk most of the time, or maybe sitting on the couch using occasionally, then having a slightly larger, heavier laptop would not be much of an issue. You'll definitely save some money if you're willing to not buy one of the super slim, super light laptops that cost $2,000. So if all you really want is a larger screen, a larger display, and it's going to be your daily use computer, well then probably getting a 17-inch display would be helpful because you'd have more room on the computer screen to enlarge that document that you're working on and go easy on your eyes with the larger fonts. Or if you need to be looking at a website and also typing at the same time, well then you can do that with a bigger display. And the display size then will impact what the overall size of the computer is. And basically, those are the criteria. In my conversations with people about buying laptop computers, one of the issues that comes up is the reason they're buying it is because it's small, because it takes up less room on their desk. They figure, well, it's the keyboard, the trackpad, or they can attach a mouse and it's right there on their desk. And so one thing I want people to know about is that there are these mini computers. And mini computers are maybe 6 inches by 6 inches and then 2 inches tall. And if somebody is mainly interested in using up less space on their desk, a mini computer can be a great solution. And it lets you have a computer display that's larger than what you could get in a laptop computer. And what you'll find is as you assemble the parts of having the display and the keyboard and the mouse, you'll start to put those into positions that are more ergonomically effective and efficient. So the display would be up at eye level, the keyboard would be down where your hands are, whereas a laptop computer, unless you connect those independent components, is all going to be in one spot. And so you're going to be looking down at the screen if the keyboard is at the right level, or if you move the keyboard up, if you move the laptop up to a higher position where it's level with your eyes, well, then you're going to be reaching up to get to the keyboard. So if you really don't need a portable computer, you might consider one of these mini computers. I did a podcast recently on a computer display buyer's guide, and you can look that up. But in summary, what I've found works well is to have a 42-inch 4K display that's a TV, basically, a Samsung 42-inch, what would have probably been considered a big screen TV, although now big screen TVs are 50, 60, 70, 100 inches, so it's starting to look smaller. But I find that to be very nice. Now, you can hook that to a laptop computer, or you can hook it to a mini computer, but that's something to consider either way. But those are the main points and pitfalls, I guess, to look out for when buying a computer. Just really to make sure that you don't get something that's going to be noticeably slow as you start to use it. You want it to be fast enough that it responds quickly. And I guess one other consideration is that if you get a computer that has a touchscreen display, that can be useful because the touch interface is increasingly being used these days. You may find that computers with touch displays could be $50 or $100 more expensive. And so if you really feel you don't need the touch display, you could save some money by going without it. It's important to know that the slimmer, lighter computers may have less battery life. Not always, but because they're smaller, the battery could be smaller. Or if they have a longer battery life, maybe that's because the processor is slow and doesn't consume as much power. Even the ones that are slightly thicker, they may have better battery life, but you'll notice if you look at most laptop computers these days, you may not see many little screws or sliding panels or replaceable items. You know, it was very common in the past to have batteries that were easily replaced. You would slide a piece of plastic latch over and you could pull out the battery and replace it with another, or you could travel with several charged up batteries and always have power for the long journey. So that's something to consider. If you're really going to be wanting to have mobile use of that computer, then buy one that is perhaps going to be a little thicker, but that has this replaceable battery capability. Some Dell laptops have a battery that is either, when it's connected, it's either the same size as the laptop and it fits right in and it does not protrude from the laptop. There's one like that might be a 6-cell battery, okay? And it has a certain lifespan. But you can also get an extended life battery where it'll fit into the battery slot but then stick out a little bit in the back, or stick out a little bit on the bottom and make the computer angle up a little bit. So that's something to look for. And you should be able to see that online or in the store. and also maybe find out how much an extra battery will cost. So if the manufacturer is selling extra batteries for $200, well, that's not as attractive as, you know, if it's a Dell computer and it's a Latitude series or Inspiron series and the batteries are easily available and even perhaps for less money from third parties, that's very attractive because the battery is essential. Even if you don't travel a lot, you want a battery that's going to work well. Something I consider as a big plus on a laptop computer is the ability to remove the battery easily. Some of these newer computers are not really user serviceable. You can't get in there and easily replace the battery. You'll see the older computers typically do have a relatively large battery pack that can be easily removed and replaced. Or if you want, you can carry around two or three extra batteries to make sure you have plenty of power while traveling, or in the case of a power outage, you'd have plenty of extra battery power for your computer if you had extra batteries available. So, removable battery, that would be for some people an important feature. The other thing is computer security. Biometrics, say a fingerprint reader, is very handy. So, you know, you can log into your computer with your fingerprint and that it's quick and easy to log in, but secure. And then the password itself can be quite long, something that you wouldn't want to be having to type in every single time. So the fingerprint reader is helpful. You'll notice that Microsoft Windows has moved toward having a PIN available, a four-digit PIN you can type in to quickly get into your computer. So that's helpful as well, but maybe something that a person could guess if you were concerned about security. With regard to where to buy a computer or printer or other accessories, I like the idea of buying local, well, all the time, buying local from, you know, locally owned stores. But in this case, you know, if you're buying from Staples or Best Buy or Costco or whatever, if you buy local, you can really see the product before purchasing it. And even if you buy online from Best Buy or Costco or Staples or wherever, you have an opportunity to more easily kind of pack it up and return it if needed. So that's important. And at the time of purchasing, there will be options for warranty and support contracts. So you might get an extended warranty that protects or covers the hardware repair for, say, 3 or 4 years. There are also these warranties that cover accidental damage. And that's useful because there's always this gray area when you have a warranty of things that they'll say aren't covered because that was part of a misuse of the item. Something spilled on it, or it dropped. And you might think, well, yeah, it dropped, but it should be rugged enough to survive that little fall just 2 feet from the coffee table to the carpeted floor. And they will say, no, you know, the drop sensor is triggered and they show that it was dropped. And so that's not covered under warranty. So you have this really expensive item that you've paid on, you know, a warranty for, and it's still not covered. So if you get accidental damage, it covers everything regardless of the cause. And really, it depends on a person's history and use with technology. So if you're somebody who takes really good care of your equipment or uses it lightly or is not in rugged situations like job sites where construction is being done or something, and if you've never really had hardware problems, never spilled anything or dropped anything, then you probably don't need the warranty. But if you're somebody who routinely, you know, drops their phone and it's cracked and drops the computer and things break and things are, you know, happening all the time, and maybe you are the person that's working on a construction site, or maybe it's just you know, just tough luck or whatever it is, bad luck. But if you do find that things often break for you, then the warranty that covers accidental damage might be a good choice, because then you can continue to be enjoying this item for many years to come, as long as it's covered under that warranty. And I guess also along with that topic of the warranty is that if it's an accidental damage item, like, you know, let's say a battery gets dropped or a key comes off the keyboard or whatever, that is not up for discussion. You know, if it's something that you're claiming the fan makes noise and you want that repaired under warranty, they're going to say, well, we don't really want to do that. But if there's a problem, even cosmetically, that you would like to have repaired, probably not like a little scratch or something, but really if there's anything substantial that you'd like to have repaired, it's more likely that you can get that work done than if you just had a regular warranty that doesn't cover it anyway. Well, I think that's about all I have to share for now on ideas, tips, suggestions for buying a laptop computer. I appreciate you taking time to listen, and I appreciate all of the subscribers and the likes and the shares and the comments, and I look forward to sharing more with you again soon. Take care.